If you'd like to take your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter number 11. There's two portions of scripture I want to look at tonight with a thought. We missed the Sunday before last. So it would have been the Sunday before the Sunday before last. Figure that out. Amen. Anyway, I guess it was maybe the first of the year. I started preaching on the God of a brand new start. And we talked about Peter. God gave Peter a brand new start, the man who denied his faith. And then God gave David, that Sunday night we preached on, a brand new start, the man who was defiled by his flesh. And tonight there's a couple of men in Scripture that I want to look at that God gave a brand new start. And these are men who doubted their faith. Men who doubted their faith. So we'll begin tonight in Matthew chapter number 11. And I'll read a few verses of Scripture here. Appreciate your prayers and appreciate you once again being here this evening. Matthew chapter number 11. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said here, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here. And thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you for the time to pray, Lord. Lord, I know that you know what we have need of even before we ask. And Lord, the older I get, the more I realize, our Father, that sometimes it's even difficult to remember all the things that we should pray for. I'm glad we have an intercessor that knows what we need even before we ask. Lord, you said to ask and we shall receive. I pray tonight, our Father, that you'd meet the needs of each one of our dear people. Some of them, Lord, are suffering tremendously tonight. God, be with them, be near to them, and help them. God will give you glory. Help us tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I was reading the text just now and reading about the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. Could you imagine for just a moment, Jesus' earthly ministry lasted about 3.5 years. Could you imagine for just a moment walking with him for one day. Just one day. I mean, I believe there's a reason that over and over the Bible said to Jesus, a great while before day, he would depart into a mountain to pray and talk to his Father. I believe one of the reasons for that is when it got day, he was very busy. Say amen. I mean, the people in different places thronged him. Somebody had somebody that's sick. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to get them to Jesus. Amen. Because when somebody said Jesus couldn't even attend a funeral. If he tried to, amen, whoever was dead got up. Amen. I mean, it would have been exciting just to spend a day with Jesus, let alone 3.5 years. And here's John. He's walked with the Lord and he's talked with the Lord. He has witnessed the workings of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet now he's in prison. There's a couple of things I want to bring out in the message tonight about John, and then we're going to look at another character in the scripture if time permits. And the first thing I want to look at tonight is the reason that he doubted. And I want to back up and say something that I read from John R. Rice years ago. John R. Rice said this. He said, if you are a Christian and you do not battle with doubt, he said, you are not in the majority. He said, you're in the minority. He said, the majority of God's people, at some point or another, they really face a battle with doubt. We're talking about a man that stood on the banks of the Jordan River and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We're talking about a man that got out in the Jordan River and baptized Jesus. A man that witnessed the Trinity, because the Son of God's going under the water. The Spirit of God descends like a dove. And the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And you might say, how in the world could a man that saw such things and participated in such things ever doubt? The first thing God showed me was his circumstances. He did the right thing. When he stood up to Herod and he said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. He was preaching against adultery, amen. He ends up cast into the prison. Can I tell you something, beloved? Doing the right thing don't always turn out the way we think doing the right thing ought to turn out. This is a little bit hilarious, but I'm going to tell you what come to my mind. A little bit of that Coulter's rubbing off on me, Brother Jason. You see, John didn't have his radio going down there in the prison listening to some of them radio preachers that says, if you love God, amen, everything going to be hunky-dory. He didn't know anything about that kind of preaching, amen. And I wish we didn't, because it's not scriptural, amen. But I'll tell you tonight, John's circumstances, he did the right thing, yet he ended up in prison. Peter tells us about that. I'm not going to look at the verses. He said, don't you glory if you're suffering for wrongdoing. But he said, if you're suffering for doing right, he said, you glory in that. Amen. And so John, his circumstances, and I believe that we see not only the list of John's circumstances, but now there's a lack of closeness. John had been walking with Jesus. John had been talking with Jesus. John had witnessed. John was the forerunner. He was the one that prepared the way for the Lord. But now John is isolated. Let me say something to you right here. Beloved, listen, as we near the coming of the Lord, and we're near, somebody help me tonight. I mean this. You better beware of letting the enemy back you up in a corner somewhere and isolate you away from God's people. Amen? Because there's no telling what'll go on in your mind while you're over there by yourself in the corner somewhere. We need each other. And John wasn't close to the Lord the way that he once was. And he was unable to walk with him and see the wonderful works that he did. And I believe tonight that when you think about today, we haven't walked with the Lord as far as physically. But surely if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've walked with the Lord by faith. You've walked with the Lord in the pages of His Word. Surely if you have been saved by the grace of God, God's let you see some things, amen? Evidence of His presence, evidence of His power. And I believe even though there we have those times, and we would call them mountaintop times, we ought to beware because we know the valleys are coming. The valley's going to come in our health. Sometimes the valley will come in our wealth. And sometimes that valley just comes in a spiritual oppression. I do not believe that God's people can be possessed of the devil. I do not believe that. I believe this scripture teaches otherwise. But I do believe God's people can be oppressed of the devil. They can get in a place where the devil just, it just gets dark all around them, amen, and they don't know which way to turn. John's down there in the prison, and we see there's his circumstances, and then there's that lack of closeness. And I want to just share some things with you. John, you might ask yourself this question, how could he ask in verse number 3, art thou he that should come? Or should we look for another? This is the same man that preached and said, listen, there's one that cometh after me whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. This is the one that said he's going to baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is the one that knew of the Lord. This is the one that said, I love it in John chapter 3. He must increase and I must decrease. You think about that tonight. What a wonderful, 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 wonderful thing it is to know of the Lord. But then there was this doubt that crept in. I don't know all of John's situation, but I do know this. If you go to prison nowadays, I've been in the prisons, and I'm sure that it's 100 times better than where John was. Are you listening to me? They got TVs. They got a shower. Amen. They get 3 hot meals a day. I don't believe John had those kind of things. Amen. Where he was in prison. Matter of fact, when I was in Israel, I went into a prison and they believed it was one where Paul and Silas was. And they had in the rocks that were hewn out in the rock where a man would stick his hand through it. And they would put things on his hands and he could. And I'm telling you, beloved, that it was dark, it was damp, there was water in the floor. It was an ugly situation. There wasn't a nice pillow and a nice bed and a nice blanket to cover up with. No air conditioning, amen, and no heat. And so John's in a place where he says, art thou he, or should we look for another? But you know what God's going to do? He's going to give him a brand new start. I like that, don't you? You know, I want you to think about this. What was it that John doubted? Well, when he said here, art thou here, shall we look for another? There's 3 things that the Lord spoke to me about. Number one, I believe he doubted his power. If John wasn't in a place where he was doubting God's power, why did Jesus give him the answer that he did? He said, go and show John those things which you do hear and see. And by the way, let me say something right there. Years ago, I was reading, you know, Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. You remember he told his disciples, and he said, greater works than these shall you do. And I wondered how in the world could Jesus tell the disciples, you're going to do a greater work than what I'm doing. You remember this. The Bible said the Jews required a sign. You remember that in Acts, the first part of the book of Acts, the first 10 chapters, you have the sign gifts active. But a lot of what went on in the ministry of Jesus and the success of his ministry was a result of what people could see and hear. And I believe Jesus calls it a greater work because he's going to send back to the Father, and now the work is going to be totally by faith. God's going to give a word. The preacher's going to preach a sermon like Stephen did, like Peter did. And people are going to believe the word of God. They're not going to have to see. The world says, show it to me and I'll believe it. God said, believe me and I'll show it to you. Amen. It's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe John doubted his power, and I believe that's why Jesus is going to reinforce John's faith by saying, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. I believe Jesus is telling John's disciples, you just go remind John what's going on out here. Now some of these preachers today, they would be thinking something like this, well, if he's got that much power, why don't he just get John out of prison? How many believes he could have? We got Bible for that. Say amen. What did he do when Paul and Silas was down there? He just shook the jail. The doors flew open. Amen. They got out. He could have got him out. Let me say something. Sometimes we get in circumstances. God could get us out of it, but he don't always choose to. How many knows that's the truth? God could get us out of it if he wanted to. But I'll tell you what he's doing. He's teaching us. Something I heard years ago or read, I'm not sure which now, but the trials of life are not to destroy God's people. They're to develop God's people. Big difference, amen. The old devil would like to destroy every one of us. How many is glad that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world? Amen. And so tonight, God is not trying to destroy John, but he is developing John. John doubts his power. And this is really where the rubber meets the road. Not only did John doubt his power, but John doubted his person. Think about that. Art thou he? Or should we look for another? Peter said it like this, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, amen. And it would be easy, if you're not careful, to criticize John. But I'm going to give you something in a moment, beloved, that I believe will help you. I believe when we get isolated like John was, and when we battle doubts like John did, I believe that's when the enemy's going to jump up on us with both feet. But I'm going to tell you something. Someone never jump up on you with both feet, and that's Jesus. He's never going to condemn you. Amen. The Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You know what that tells me? That tells me, beloved, he knows what we're going through in those dark hours. And he knew what John was going through. He doubted his person. Art thou he? Or should we look? Or do we look for another? I believe with all of my heart tonight, that's dangerous ground when we get to that place. Because as Brother Jason read to us tonight and talked to us about tonight, there's only one Jesus. Amen. The Bible did talk about in the book of Corinthians, Paul said they're preaching another Jesus. In other words, it's not the Jesus of the Bible. They're preaching another gospel, but it's not the gospel of Christ. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, John, he doubted for a moment his power. He doubted for a moment his person. And I'll give you this tonight. Jesus comes down in these last verses here in this chapter. And he said in verse 10, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. Thou shalt prepare thy way before thee. I believe that there's disciples going back and forth now. You understand? John sent his disciples out to talk to Jesus, and Jesus sent them back with a message, right? I don't know if the disciples before Jesus sent them back, if they heard this or not, but I want to think in my mind they listened to this portion of Scripture where it's recorded here. And so it's possible that if they didn't hear it even at that particular time, that they heard it where Jesus would say something like this. He'd say, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." I will promise you this. When John heard that, he doubted that statement. A greater than me? There's not risen, not been born among women. John's in a low place. He's not in a high place. But you know what God's going to do? He's going to convince him in his heart and give him that brand new start. Because the Word of God, beloved, is what comes back to all of it. Believing the Word of God. He said, "I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." I believe when John heard that the blind receive their sight and the lame walk and the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached unto them, I believe when John heard that, something went off in his heart and he said, "That's him. That's him." How many's glad you know him tonight? Listen tonight. The Scripture said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And I think when we doubt, we ought to do what we need to do, and that's repent. I don't have Scripture for this, but I could hear John saying something like this in that prison, "Lord, I'm sorry I ever doubted you." Amen. I can hear John saying something like that, telling his disciples, "Boys, we ain't got nothing to worry about." That's him. That's him. And sometimes in our life when we're battling with doubt, God will just come along and work in our heart in such a way. Let me ask you something. Maybe I need to just say it like this. I've been through some dry times in the ministry. What I mean by dry times is there was no one getting saved, no one seemingly getting much help. Is anybody with me tonight? Praying and wondering, "God, are you hearing my prayer?" And I have actually said this before. And God, this afternoon, he spoke to me about it. I've actually had the privilege, Brother Stephen, to, in a dry time like that, God just let me meet somebody that's ready to hear the gospel, that's ready to repent of their sin, that's ready to say yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I have honestly said this before. I've had the privilege to lead somebody to Christ, and I just humbly come out of me. I needed this about as bad as you did. I needed to see God work in somebody's life. Because, beloved, there's nothing that will send the doubts running for the hills like seeing our Father show up. Amen. That's what we ought to pray for when the choir's singing, the preacher's preaching, somebody's testifying, somebody's singing a special, that God would just show up and somebody would get to see him. Amen. Because not only does that help the unbeliever, but it helps the believer. Would somebody say amen? It helps the believer. The men who doubted their faith. I read this and it's hilarious, I thought. I thought it was worth reading to you, talking about doubt. And I have a resource that gives you illustrations that you can use. You can just type in a subject. And so I typed in the subject of doubt. And when I read this, I laughed for 15 minutes. And every once in a while, we need a laugh, don't we? I was telling Brother Grizzle today, Brother John, about Brother J.W. Depew the first time I heard him preach. First time I heard Brother J.W. preach, he got up and he started on this yarn about riding this horse. And that horse was a bucking, and that horse was about to kill him. That horse was fixing to throw him against the wall. He went on for 5 minutes, it seemed like. I mean, he sucked me right in. And then he said this, if that manager at Kmart hadn't have come out there and unplugged that thing, I believe it'd have killed me. I never shall, Brother Junior, forget that. Amen. He said, I believe it'd have killed me. And I knew I'd been had. Amen. But I read this today and I laughed. Lord Halifax, he was a former secretary of Great Britain. He once shared a railway compartment with two prim-looking ladies. I don't know what a prim-looking lady is, but anyway, you can look that up. A few moments before reaching his destination, the train passed through a tunnel. In the utter darkness, Halifax, he kissed the back of his hand noisily several times. When the train drew into the station, he arose, he lifted his hat in a gentlemanly way, and he said, may I thank whichever one of you two ladies I'm indebted to for the charming incident in the tunnel. Y'all don't get it, do you? He then made a hasty retreat, leaving the two ladies glaring at each other. I think that's a pretty good definition of doubt. Say amen. You know, tonight, John, he fought that battle with doubt, but he overcame it, and the Lord gave him that brand new start. Turn with me to John chapter 20 tonight. John chapter 20. And you probably know who this other character is here that I want to speak about tonight. The God of a brand new start. And this man, we know it's Thomas. In verse number 24 of John chapter 20, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, you reckon he knew what Thomas said? He knows everything we say, don't he? Let me give you one better than that. He knows everything we think. Over and over in the Scripture, amen, he'd tell them what they was thinking before it ever come out of their mouth. And he said here, Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Boy, just got something right there I hadn't thought about. That spear must have left a big old wound if you could stick your hand in it, Brother Jason. Hadn't thought about that. You remember they stuck that, it wasn't a sword, it was a spear, I'm sorry. They stuck that spear up under his ribs, and the Bible said forthwith came blood and water. Behold my hands, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. I want to ask you something tonight, and we're speculating here. How many believes that Thomas actually did that? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Let me tell you why I say that. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Thomas was one of God's sheep. Say amen. I won't argue it either way. But I can tell you, I believe when the Son of God said, "Peace be unto you," and told Thomas to do that. There have been times when my dad spoke to me and I wish he had just whooped me. Say amen. And I don't know for sure, but I know this. Jesus gave him the opportunity to do what he said he wanted to do. And there may be a little bit of evidence here. Not so much that maybe he reached hither his hand, but definitely that he saw, because in the verse 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." But in verse 29, Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me." He didn't say, "Because thou hast touched me," but he said, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." There's several things here that caused Thomas to doubt. There was a distance. He was not with the disciples when Jesus showed up the first time. He did not believe the disciples. He wouldn't take their word for it. And I want to say this to you. If you look over here, let me see where I'm getting this from here. I don't know where I got that from. Let me look here just a minute. Somewhere or another, as I was looking at this, I said it was John. Maybe because it's the book of John and not Peter. In other words, you could understand maybe if it was Peter. Okay. Then Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, I believe I misread that. I believe I read that as that other disciple. And so I misread that. That's where I got that thought from. I misread that. It says the other disciples, not that other disciple. Because over and over in the book of John, John won't call his own name. He'll say the disciple whom Jesus loved or that other disciple, but that's not the case. But anyway, we have seen the Lord. So he didn't believe the disciples. Then there was the discouragement. Can you imagine 8 days now that Thomas, he doesn't believe Jesus rose from the dead. You could say his best friend, so to speak, is gone. His Savior died. And he's discouraged. Then there's the danger of when he said, "Except I see it, except I feel the prints in his hand." And that causes doubt. And then we see two declarations here, the declaration of Jesus and the declaration of Thomas. Thomas's declaration was, "My Lord and my God." I believe in that instant, Thomas had a brand new start in his life. He's alive. Did you know tonight you don't have to wait till Easter to celebrate the fact that he's alive? Amen. I love the song that says, "You ask me how I know he lives." There's a couple of ways every one of God's people ought to know. Right here is one. And I believe that's the main one. The Bible said so. But then he lives within my heart. You know that as well. But then the declaration of Jesus tonight. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." Is there anybody here tonight that's seen Jesus? Is there anybody here tonight that's believed Him? You've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been saved by the grace of God. Did you know that God said you're blessed? You're blessed tonight. Amen. When it gets dark and the circumstances are not good, we need to just understand, beloved, listen, that though whatever we're going through is not good, our Lord promised He's working it together for good to them that love Him. I've seen it. I've seen young people's heart broke over a relationship that didn't work out, only to see, as they waited on the Lord, their heart blessed when God put them with the one. Everybody understand that? It's the same God that's at work. We don't need to doubt Him. I'll leave this with you. This man's name is Norman Shirk. He wrote this. He said, "Let me meet you on the mountain, Lord, just once. You wouldn't have to burn a whole bush, just a few smoking branches, and I would surely be your Moses. Let me meet you on the water, Lord, just once. It wouldn't have to be on White Rock Lake, just on a puddle after the annual Dallas rain, and I would surely be your Peter. Let me meet you on the road, Lord, just once. You wouldn't have to blind me on the North Central Expressway, just a few bright lights on the way to the chapel, and I would surely be your Paul. Let me meet you, Lord, just once, anywhere, anytime. Just meeting you in the Word is so hard sometimes. Must I always be your Thomas?" Think about that. Sometimes when we doubt, we just need to fall on our face and say, "God, I'm sorry." And you know what He'll do? He'll give you a brand new start. Amen. I know what it is to be forgiven, don't you? Not just in salvation, but I know what it's been to be forgiven in the sanctification process. One of the things Brother Mitchell said that, long as I got any memory at all, I don't think I'll ever forget it. If you've ever repented, you're still repenting. And I believe that's true. Amen. Amen. The closer we get to the Lord, the more we see there's room to move up. How many's glad you come tonight?